Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk. Body like a back row, driving with my eyes closed. I know every curve like the back of my hand. Doing 15 and 30, I ain't in no hurry. It's hour two of the Hardline from the Vincent Mortgage Studios here in Kirkwood, along with Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, John Hadley. I'm Eric Messersmith. Matt Rocchio hanging out with us, spinning the dials, as always. The Bud Light text line is 855-282-8255. Bud Light, the official beer of the Hardline, 855-282-TALK.
All right.
Ward Cleaver weighing in, saying Hadley's autobiography is The Fat Man Farteth.
Ooh, sounds like a good one.
I like it. Catfish says,
I think that was Shakespeare.
Didn't they install a dead mic in the new studio for Hadley to talk into when you're having a serious discussion? That would actually be...
He's just talking to himself. It'd be hilarious.
That kind of reminds me. This is hilarious. Speaking of hilarious stories, I saw this on CNN. It doesn't start off hilarious. They caught that guy in Tampa who was the serial killer, right?
Yeah.
You see that? They had a press conference. The funny part wasn't that.
The
funny part was there was a woman. You know how these press conferences, a lot of times, they have someone who does this sign language for deaf people?
Yeah.
She said, hey, I'm the person doing the sign language. And so during the press conference, she was doing sign language. The issue was she didn't know what she was doing and she wasn't really the person. She was just impersonating it.
That happened in Nelson Mandela's thing,
so
too.
So she started doing it, and it's gibberish. Like, I wouldn't know because I don't know sign language, but you watch it, she's just doing these ridiculous hand motions, and it was total gibberish. And she just lied to them and
this
said,
is
yeah,
like
I do this.
That
this
happened.
Is like the third or fourth time this has happened.
Really?
It happened at Nelson Mandela's ceremony.
Why does this happen? What's the thing?
They had a guy up on stage at that Nelson Mandela thing where in front of all the presidents, and he wasn't even supposed to be up there. It was the most bizarre thing in the world.
That is strange. That is really
strange. You know
what
strange. I'm watching right now on Netflix is, it's, I mean, it's a shy, it's not a documentary, but it's like a show, The Unabomber.
And oh,
it
yeah.
It's wild.
Wait, is it a show or is it a documentary? Do you know the difference?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
Sure.
It's not a documentary, but obviously it's based on the Unabomber.
Okay.
And the
so do they
story.
Have actors and a script?
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah
okay,
yeah,
then
yeah,
it is
yeah,
a show.
But,
all right.
But it is obviously it is based on the true story, and so they're taking like a profiler, you know? And
yeah.
that's how they caught him, I guess. They're going through like the life of the profile and how it happened and all
right.
that.
Right. Yeah, it is a really interesting story.
Yeah.
Of how they caught him.
It's creepy.
Joining us now is DeMarco Farr. Better late than never, DeFarr, but we'll give you a break because L.A. is on fire right now. Jesus, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. It's just the freeways are all screwed up, so they rerouted us a bunch. What the heck were you guys just talking about?
The Unabomber?
It's on Netflix.
This is a serious sports show, DeMarco.
Yes.
We only
What's it called? What's the Netflix show?
The Unabomber.
It's called The Unabomber. Okay, I need to check that out.
I'm telling you, I stumbled into it because I didn't really actually. I found out yesterday why they even call it The Unabomber because for the first like 10 years of this thing, I guess it was like, what, 17 years of him?
It was a long time.
But it was, he targeted universities and airports. So, Unabomber.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
So, there you go. And super interesting how they caught him and such. I'm really on the first episode, but they're figuring out like how to get into his brain and that he left no traces of anything.
DeMarco, before we get into football talk, it's. Give us the scene out there because we've seen the videos and pictures of people driving into work this morning. The fire, how close is it to L.A. to where you are? What are people panicking out there?
No, no one's panicking. I mean, look, fires in California, is, you know, it's normal. It's like hurricane season in the Midwest. You know what's coming. There's going to be a problem, and you hope it doesn't hit your house. But I haven't seen fire. I've seen smoke. What I have seen is a major freeway has been closed, and it just diverted people in different directions. So there's no way north from where I live right now. But as far as the fire, no, I haven't seen it. I don't think I'm in any danger up here.
Wow. The freeway you're talking about, the 405, right? Which I can't even imagine what that does to traffic.
Oh, my God.
With that
close. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like if you cut your body off at the midsection, that's how important the 405 is here.
Wow. DeMarco, we haven't had a chance to talk to you. The Rams got a nice win on Sunday, and for the first time since 2003, we'll have a winning record. At the beginning of the year, did you think, honestly, this team was going to win 9-plus games?
Yeah, you know, that's weird because I always thought that Jeff Fisher and crew had a chance for at least 8-8, possibly 9-7.
Okay, so we can't take your opinion seriously on this.
Yeah. Look, I think every football team has a chance to at least be .500 or better. Not necessarily playoff, but not losing too. I think you had enough talent here the last 5 years not to be as bad as you were. So I thought this team, this new coaching staff with the same group, Todd Gurley, you've got Aaron Donald, you've got pieces in place, that, yeah, 8-8, 9-7 would be entirely possible. I never thought you'd get to 9 with 4 to play. I never thought you'd be this good this fast. So, yeah, there is a lot of this that's still making me go, wow, about, you know, Sean McVay and telling him what a great job he's doing. And this team is still getting better. But I thought 9 wins was entirely possible. But to be set up as one of the best teams in the NFC, yeah, I'm a little surprised at that.
DeMarco Farr with us here on the Hardline, 590 The Fan, inside STL.com. We'll get back to the Rams in a minute because I got a big game this week, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the game Monday night. We kind of had a disagreement here.
Yeah. Kind of.
I thought it was a terrible night for the NFL, and the reasons are varied. Obviously, a guy laying on the field, maybe paralyzed, let's hope not, was bad. But the Juju Smith-Schuster hit, A, it was an illegal hit. B, there was helmet-to-helmet contact. C, he stood over him and taunted him when he was motionless on the field. I thought that was a terrible look for a league that's trying to say, we care about head injuries and player safety. I was glad they suspended him for a game, and I say that as a Steeler fan. I thought Juju Smith-Schuster got what he deserved. I thought that the look, the feel of that game was just really bad for the NFL in 2017. What did you make of it, DeMarco?
I 100% agree, man, and that's why I missed you guys a half an hour ago. I was actually arguing with a guy I went to college with about that very same game. I was disappointed in the coaches, Marvin Lewis and Mike Tomlin. They let that game get away from them. You know, standing over a guy who's hurt, who's knocked out. It was a great shot. It was a great block. If you would have left it at that, walked back to the huddle, I would have had no problem. The problem I had was you're standing over a guy who's hurt and you're flexing on him.
Hmm.
Well, if I'm on Vontaze Burfict's team, guess what I'm thinking now? Especially if
watch
you
your knees.
Yeah. If you don't throw that guy out, well, look, I got to serve justice. So that last shot on Antonio Brown, look, those guys didn't care about the flag. That's the situation you were in. That's the type of game you were in. So, look, if Rob Gronkowski, one of my players, goes out and
DeMarco
knocks him cold. Can you hear me?
Yeah, well, I thought maybe the fire cut your phone line. We got
no, I'm
you.
I'm sorry. If I'm Belichick and I saw what Gronkowski did, I'm not going to wait for the refs to eject him. I'm pulling you out. If I saw that, if I'm Mike Tomlin and I saw my player do that to another guy, I'm pulling you out. That's not the sort of football I want to play. So I agree with the announcers to that in that regard. That is exactly what the league doesn't need.
Yeah.
I think you need better officiating, or I think some coaches need to be more responsible with their players.
All right. So, DeMarco, you played in, I think, a much better era of the NFL than we're having right now because – for one, I think the Gronkowski, I think that was the last play of the game. Maybe I'm mistaken on that. I think
Gronkowski?
Yeah.
No. This was second, third quarter.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And to me, Gronk was mad because the guy was holding him.
It was after the whistle, which made it worse.
Oh, it was
and
a thousand.
The guy grabbed him three times.
So,
I get it. You're upset, and you got some get back. But that stuff could not fly. With
I agree that 100 on the Gronk thing. I get when the Shazier hit. That's just football. He's got to keep his head up. That's his own
right.
deal.
Oh, yeah, there was
nothing
illegal. No.
Now that just set the tone though for the night
right.
of everybody having
yeah,
kind of the
exactly.
somber mood. But then you go to I have argued this. Eric keeps saying this is the Juju Smith-Schuster hit was illegal and there's no place for that in the game. Well, let me explain to everybody, DeMarco, you know this, explain to everybody else how as a wide receiver you have to handle a guy like Vontaze Burfict or any guy coming at you sideways. He is double your weight. You either let him run through you by not being able to blindside him and hope he turns around in time, or you take your shot. And yeah, maybe he was an inch high, but that's the shot you gotta take. I'm with you.
Yeah.
On do what you want to do after, because he stood over and was acting like a fool. Fine.
But that's normal.
Yes.
I'll tell you this, right? I mean, Vontaze Burfict, right? He would have probably said, if you would have hit him, went back to the huddle, he'd probably shake your hand and say, good shot.
Right.
The minute you flexed on him, that's a different deal.
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't have been that night because he couldn't get off the ground.
No.
He had to be carted off.
And look, that's what he's going to do to you if he can't.
Right. He's going to do worse. We know that.
Absolutely. That's just football there.
My point on this, DeMarco, is, okay, you had that shot on Antonio Brown in the end zone, too, and that was high, but you're also, as a safety, that's you're trying to win the game at the very end. And I don't know if locker rooms have changed, but I try to explain the culture to guys in the locker room. You take that shot to try to separate him from the ball to win the game. And then sometimes the guys will get together and pay your fine for you and say, you put your head on the line for us. Sometimes those are things you got to do. Now, it wasn't clean and he went high, but where he was at, he was going around his own guy and he had to take a shot at him. The other hits, I think we're looking at the Shazier, I mean, just awful potential paralysis.
Right.
And, yeah, and then we're extending that to the rest of the game.
So what you're saying is if the Shazier thing didn't – oh, go ahead, DeMarco.
Let me make 2 points. Number one, the Schuster hit on Vontaze Burfict. And what I meant, he would shake your hand, good shot. Thank you for not taking my knees out.
Right.
I could have done that,
yes,
too. So I'd rather you hit me in the chin than in the knees. The second thing is the safety shot. And I'm big on body language, especially after the play. As soon as he made that hit on Antonio Brown and those flags came out, there was nothing that said – He didn't turn to the ref and go, oh, my God, I'm just playing football, or look at the flag and go, what are you talking about? He knew what he was doing. So I've seen guys out there. There's a guy named Blake Countess that plays for the Rams who had a chance, a similar shot in the middle of the field. He had a chance to hit him with a shoulder, not put his head into it. Well, guess what? He made the choice to drop his head. He got fined $24K. I'm not paying your fine when you have a chance to make a legal shot. You could have did what you needed to do on that play and stayed legal, not penalize the football team and not get fined, but because of what you wanted to do, become a big hitter and drop a guy with your head, you get fined. That's not on me. That's on you.
Yeah, let me just clarify sort of my position. I think what I think how the NFL should do this. The Smith-Schuster thing, to me, the reason it was so bad it warranted a suspension wasn't because of the block. The block was illegal. And if, right, it had just been the block and nothing else, that's a 15-yard penalty that we're not talking about suspension.
No, it's still a fine, though.
It's a fine.
And to me, that's the larger point of where we're going with the game that is wrong. There's nothing else he can do there.
To me, I think the combination of the illegal block, the fact that his head, and I watch it over and over again, his head contacted the helmet,
oh, yeah,
the chin,
well,
strap.
DJ,
yeah, he could have hit him in the chest.
You could wall that guy off.
Yes.
You could wall.
He could have done that.
Off. How are you going to wall him off, DeMarco? Like I'm talking, and Schuster's bigger than I am, but I'm talking from my sides. If I didn't take a shot at somebody, I'm about to get run over. There is no walling anybody off.
But I mean, the whole point is to keep the man from the ball carrier, and you could have been a deterrent in that situation. Now, you would take a shot. You'd probably get rolled up. Throw your shoulder in there if you have to. Give him a booty block. You know, turn your back to him. Make him run you over to get to the football. Either way, it keeps him off the ball carrier. That's your job. You have a choice. I can lay him out or I can get hit myself. Me, I'm going to choose to lay you out versus let,
right,
myself get hit.
And because you're dangerous, I get what you're doing. The butt block is a special teams. You use it like crazy. And,
yeah,
and that's smarter on special teams because guys are often changing directions. And it was kind of like this play. But we're talking about Vontaze Burfict, who's one of the most explosive, short space guys in the league. If he turns and I'm trying to wall him.
And he never saw you coming, or you could put your hands out. You didn't have to run in there face first.
Right.
There's a lot of ways you could have handled that block.
And that's my point with Schuster. It's the totality. It's three things.
Yeah.
It's the illegal block. It's instead of leading with his shoulder into his torso or chest, which he could have done, he hit him with his shoulder. He also hit him at the same time with the crown of his helmet on his face mask, and then stood over him and taunted him. The totality of that was it was a totally reasonable to suspend him, given the whole play.
It's always going to be you versus me on the football field.
Right.
If it comes down to contact, I'm going to pick my self-preservation over you. But that comes with a risk. So that shot, it is what it is. You got to do what you got to do and what you choose to do. But the standing over him part.
I agree.
The black eye for the league.
I think we're all in agreement over that one. Specifically, absolutely. I mean, dude, have some self-awareness because you just watched a guy get paralyzed.
Yeah.
Right? You watched that and then you stood over a dude?
Well, we should say there are reports that Shazier has been able to have feeling in his legs.
Guys, this, and people don't understand this, man. That is the hardest thing in sports to do. When you see something like that happen on the field, a guy gets carted off, and, you know, you hear things as a player from the trainers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to say, like, he doesn't have feeling in his legs, but you're going to get that message at some point.
Well, you saw it.
The toughest thing in sports is to keep playing after that.
Move the drill.
Yeah, that's hard. It's really hard to forget what you just saw and then move on to this violent football game.
And John Gruden was talking about that. I mean, I've heard that. There's I don't know if you guys remember Menear Prince from Mizzou. We were at a scrimmage one time, and he got hit. It was a crackback block to some degree, but it wasn't dirty. I mean, it was our own team, and it was just during special teams. It was during kick return, and somebody peeled back on him, and he was paralyzed from the neck down for like 2 days, something like that. And then he finally got some feeling. And then it's like, move the drill. You got to move on. What do you mean move on?
In high school, I saw one of my guys take a shot across the middle, and he didn't move. Now, thankfully, he was just knocked out. He wasn't paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did see across the field was the same guy high-fiving people.
Hmm.
Now, that boiled down. It wasn't a football game after that.
Right.
Now it was about revenge. So I can see how when you see your – like Mike Tomlin said, when you see your brother laid flat, it changes your mentality. especially when the guy's not ejected for it.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you just can't blame the players for what happened. You have to blame the officials, too, and the coaches are involved.
So, DeMarco, you and I have changed sides on this a little bit because we talked about the guy from the Bears earlier. I said, that seemed dirty, and you're like, no, that's part of football. We've sort of changed sides on this one.
Wait, what was the hit from the guy with the Bears? Was that the one where
that was Trevathan.
Trevathan, yeah.
So...
where he, that was a play where he was kind of stood up and somebody came in with a late shot. Right,
and that's fine. We can have your opinion on that.
Well, look, he's wrapped up in the middle of the field, and the guy's just pursuing it inside out. His job is to knock you down. Now, if the play is dead, blow the whistle dead. He'd never get hit.
Yeah, I'm with you. What I'm trying to get at here, I think, is the larger picture of I think the early play from something that is – I mean, there was nothing dirty – and no rule that you can put in to have stopped what happened to Shazier. He put his head down. That's his own fault. He's had good teaching. And so I think that is clouding our judgment and everybody saying, what an awful black eye, terrible for the NFL. And I think that, like, the rest of everything could have happened and you'd have been like, man, that was a physical game. But because that happened first, it clouds everything.
A little bit. And look, I think Antonio Brown is involved in this because, you know, what he said post-game about karma and all that stuff. And remember, Vontaze Burfict knocked him out a couple of years ago.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, and think about it. You've been in rooms with receivers. You guys talk about certain people.
I've been knocked out.
if you get a chance to take that guy out to avenge your brother, you're probably going to do it.
Absolutely.
Think the hockey mentality. So I get it. Those receivers, the Steelers receivers versus Vontaze Burfict, that was going to happen.
And they probably are paying the fines. I bet they all threw him for that one.
Yeah, Antonio Brown said, I'll pay it.
Yes, but when you stand over a guy and flex, now that brings everybody else into it and it becomes a mess.
I think the other thing we got to keep in mind, too, is you have to always judge this in the prism of the larger context of where we are in 2017. Like, that exact same game and those exact same plays in 1997 or 87 or 77 or basically the history of professional football, no one would have said a word because we didn't know any better. I just think of myself. My reaction to big hits used to be, that is awesome. I love it, right?
Yeah,
now my reaction is, I hope he's okay. I hope that guy who got laid out can walk again.
That's because he has high estrogen.
No, it's not because my estrogen levels were exactly the same then. They were high then, too. I still cry to movies, too. But you know the difference is? I know more now. I didn't know what CTE was. I didn't realize people killed themselves and in part maybe because of what happened to football. I didn't know these guys wouldn't be able to remember their kid's name, and now I know that. And so that clouds how I watch it.
And that is exactly the player's stance on CTE and the lawsuit. Had they had that information way back when that the NFL did not present to them, they hid that information from the players, perhaps they would make different choices towards the game. So that is the crux of the argument right there, what you just said. And the players didn't know. You could say you knew, but you had no idea that this could lead to dementia. This could lead to suicide. This could lead to depression. You had no idea, but now you know, so things are different now.
And, DeMarco, my contention, we finally, Eric and I, we argued for whatever it was, 30 minutes yesterday, and my final thing was this. The NFL became the NFL because of what you saw on Monday. That is where the popularity came from. So instead of backing away and changing all the rules and making it an entirely different game that's not any fun to watch. I think if you're Roger Goodell, you stop commenting on elementary football and high school football and college football at all. I don't know. You guys can go talk to the scientists and the people who study that. I'm going to try to make the NFL as safe as I can while preserving the sport and the things that made it what it is today. So I think you got to stop changing everything and there's a risk.
Well, here's the one thing where I would challenge your point about in the 80s, that sort of game would have been welcomed. If that same hit on Vontaze Burfict, same thing, and the same situation where he flexes over a guy, the same thing would happen, except it would be worse. You'd probably be out two quarterbacks. And remember, this is a TV-driven league. I mean, it would have turned into mob violence, even worse than what you saw if this was back in the 80s, when you do stuff like that. So if it's not officiated and if it's not policed by the officials, then the players will do it for themselves. And that's the last thing you want to do. So I agree with Aikman. This is the last thing the NFL needed at this point in time. I agree with everyone who said this was a black eye for the NFL, but not just because of the hit, just because of how the game devolved into almost a melee because of that.
Do you agree that at this point in the NFL, you're at a crossroads here of either rolling back your game so much that it barely resembles what made it what it is today, Or you double down and say, we're going to continue to advance the equipment. We're going to continue to make obvious things that shouldn't be done in the NFL. Like for instance, the thing that the
rule, what about helmet to helmet contact?
I'll get there. The rule that I always that I think is the best one, DeMarco, that they have created is the one where you would throw the ball 18 yards over the receiver's head and the safety gets to come take a free shot at you. That needed to be out of the game. So there are obvious rules that I think you get rid of. But I think to some degree, like now you have the Trent Richardson rule, right? You can't a running back who's about to get hit by four guys can't lower his head and try to hit somebody. He's basically defenseless, right? It's the crown of the helmet rule. You have so many rules now that you have to be able to protect yourself, and people don't understand that protecting yourself often means shooting first.
No, I'm with you. And this is football. Violence, it's a violent sport. Things happen. But I think what you're trying to get rid of is the desire to hurt people. That's what you're trying to remove from the players. If you have a choice, if I have a situation where I do have a half a beat to pick my shot, either I can hit you in the head with my helmet or I can drill you dead in the chest with my shoulder, I hope you would pick the shoulder. And not just because of the fine that you might get if I go helmet to helmet. I'm thinking about the other guy's safety. I think that's what they're trying to get to.
Yeah.
You can still play tough, hard-nosed football. I still want to declate TJ Moe if he comes across the middle. I really want him to sing for his supper, but the last thing I want to do is put this guy on a stretcher.
I think what the NFL
we want you to do that.
What the NFL's looking at too, what they've been looking at for a long time is sports that are incredibly violent are niche sports for the most part in society today. Boxing, like MMA is popular, but it's not popular on the level of the NFL or the NBA.
It's too violent for people.
Because
yeah.
It's too violent for the masses.
Well,
hockey's the most violent of the major pro sports, and also it's the least popular. And I think football, it's not that football wouldn't be popular, it's that the NFL realizes to make it popular to the masses, to the soccer mom, to the people who are casual fans who play fantasy football, you have to some degree in 2017 limit the violence and the head hits. And if you don't,
they're not spending the money though.
Maybe, because when I see big hits on the field and I turn around to the crowd, I see women yelling too.
So, yeah.
I'm being serious. So I don't know if it's that, but here, I got a problem, and I love combat sports. I love MMA. I don't know if you guys saw this last weekend's UFC. Overeem got knocked out. Uppercut from hell, right? I had a problem with the guy dropping down and giving him a hammer fist. The guy's unconscious. You know he's out.
Mm-hmm.
Why give him one more shot?
It's a natural reaction, dude. It's a because what if you don't? He pops back up and he catches you with one. It happens all the damn time.
But that's the thing when you get down to football, and I get that. I understand that. But as a professional, you probably know when a guy can't fight. When you hit this guy with everything you got, that there's no way this guy's getting up. He doesn't need or deserve another shot. Same with the Trent Richardson rule. If I'm on a breakaway run and I've got a safety that's out of position, either I can avoid him, head to the end zone, or I can just choose to run over him because I want to.
Well, see, Gronk didn't think that guy was down. That's why he jumped on the second half of the play.
Sucker Gronk punched him. Oh, my God.
That's my biggest problem with this whole thing is, like, I agree with the Juju Smith-Schuster game. I think that was the appropriate penalty. But my biggest problem is, say, suspending Gronk for a game also almost equates those as if they're the same. The Gronk one was worse. He should have gotten two or three games or more. Like, you got to send a message that was so far out of bounds of what's acceptable. The punishment, in my mind, for that has to be so severe that no one would ever do that again.
Do not worry. The next time Gronk steps on the field, believe me, he's going to have to pay for that.
Oh, yeah, yes, he is.
Not from the team that he did it against. Every other defense in the world is waiting on you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and his problem is he can take them all up high, so they're all going low. And he's already had his knees, and why wouldn't you?
Oh, once you put that out, and TJ, you know this, once you put that out on tape, you're a marked man.
That's right.
DeMarco, great discussion. We're out of time, but Friday when you're on the final drive with us, we'll talk about Rams-Eagles. Big, big game this week.
Sounds good, man. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, DeFar.
DeMarco Farr out in L.A. dealing with the fire situation out there. Also the Rams broadcaster and, of course, former St. Louis Ram. Great. By the way, breaking NFL news, Roger Goodell, this is according to Pro Football Talk, has signed his new contract. Per sources with knowledge of the situation, the competition committee has informed all owners that it's been executed, the new contract.
Private jet for the rest of his life, too? Is that
that's what he wanted. I don't know if he got it or not.
This isn't over. Just so you know.
What's not
as far as what?
I don't care if he signed the contract or not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you think Jerry may still try to do something?
You can get anything more, man. You can say they don't speak for us, legally, and when you have the best lawyers in the
world. My guess is Jerry I mean, this is a guess. I think he fought the good fight here. I think he realized he was severely outnumbered. I think he lets it go for now. I think he will let it go. I don't think he'll sue the NFL. I don't think he'll cause a civil war with the owners. I think he's going to work behind the scenes to try to limit the effectiveness of the
to make sure he sucks. That'll go over well.
We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think he fought. He tried what he could do to derail him, and I think he lost.
He didn't try much. I mean, he just talked about it.
Yeah. Well, he threatened to sue, and he was too late to the party. That was the problem.
Yeah.
He was just too late to the party. He wasn't necessarily wrong. He just started too late. Catfish says, Eric, do you regret flexing over Randy Cassidy? I do.
You got to have muscles to flex.
Like, I don't regret what I did,
Eric,
to him, but
you know,
I regret flexing him.
Eric, flex real quick. Let me see if you can do it.
Eric, I imagine this story like you ran over and jumped on the guy's back. And as you were clumsily falling off, he hit his head on the ground, and you were on the ground too. And then you just look at your elbow because it's bleeding, and you're so upset.
Yeah,
and you
walk away. I did that,
and I realized I bloody did that. Him.
And you're like, "What's the matter?
What happened? What
my elbow's bleeding. He hit me.
Help me!"
You know what's funny is I knew that I wasn't a fighter before that.
But yeah, you think?
But when it happened, I was like, "It felt. I was. It was weird. It was
yeah,
like,
look, confident. Yeah, yeah. No, I did. You like, go out that night?"
Well, I was in eighth grade, so yeah, I banged the gym teacher that
night. That's kind
of cool. Mom made chicken soup.
No, I... let's talk about Bud Light. How about Bud Light, Cam? This is the official beer of the Hardline.
Hey, Blues fans, whether you're heading into Scott Trader, yelling at TV with your friends, Bud Light has you covered. It really does. Because when... Let me start over. Hey, Blues fans, whether you're heading into Scott Trade or yelling at the TV with your friends, Bud Light has you covered. Because win or lose, game day is more than about the game. It's about having a great time with people who matter most. So before the next faceoff, be sure to pick up the beer you can count on with the friends you can count on. Bud Light, it's brewed for hockey, and it's brewed for the St. Louis Blues fans. Bud Light, famous among friends and the official beer sponsor of your St. Louis Blues. Please drink responsibly.
I should tell you where we're going to be tomorrow.
Rates, Cam?
Who? Tell them rates.
The rates at Big A's are good. Big A's on the river.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
gonna
be cool,
man. Be tomorrow, 308 North Main Street in St. Charles. Come see us if you're out that way. Yeah. We're going to be out there with the wealthy people on St. Charles, TJ. Your people.
And then wealthy people out people there in St. Charles.
Cam and I will try to fit in. Cam and I both have a little hillbilly in us, so we'll try
right,
to embarrass you.
Yeah. Damn right I do.
Then Friday, Cam, you were going to be at a bar I call Top Shooters where Matt Rocchio is on the prowl.
He is in love, love, love.
That's
that
for the Cam Jansen program, right? Out there.
No.
See, this is a perfect time to take a shot at Rock and for you to quote Elf. I'm in love, and I'm in love, and I don't care if he knows
it.
And he hates Elf.
Everybody's going to know it.
And you could have been in honor of Christmas, and you totally would.
I'm in love. I'm in
love, and I don't care who knows it.
No, the girls are in love with him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now. He gets a lot of attention, more than I do over there.
She's going to hate him as soon as she figures out that he hates Christmas.
That's true, Rock. That is true. They had their Christmas outfits on. I think we're going to have them on again this weekend. Anyway, 2 to 4 at Top Shooters. Come check it out. It's always fun over there. We'll be there at the Cam Jansen Show, 2 to 4 Friday.
That's Friday. Right before that show, the Final Drive, that show with
what's
Eric,
it called?
It's with Eric Messersmith and Michael LaBridge and some other guy.
I did that the other day, too. Yeah. I forgot who was on it.
Bridgie's not going to be here, though.
Why? Did he say that?
In the prior engagement.
Oh, because he told me last week, I said, man, TJ's back next week. And
he's like,
we don't
I'm
need
not
him.
Here.
He said, we don't need him.
That's I'm not
he
here.
He said it.
That's what I said, too. I tried to
That'll be tomorrow. All right, we got to go break. Yeah. Matt Rocky is telling me. He's telling me, get out. Hurry up, he's saying. So we'll do it, Rocky.
Go and get out here.
Wait a minute. Okay, we'll do it now. It is the Hardline, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.